You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Scott Kochenour on the line, and he is CEO of Serving Strong Enterprises. Scott, welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here with you, Adam.
All right, Scott. So today's topic, first off, I'm a big fan of it. I think especially over the last couple of years, as we've all kind of gone online, we are all, to a certain extent, we're all connecting in different ways, figuring out different ways to be of value in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. The idea of age and maybe what was possible once being not necessarily the case today. I mean, there's so many, when we were warming up, you told me a story about you just helped a gentleman in his 70s that's going to be starting a coffee shop. So we'll go further into that story and many others. I'm really excited about this topic. And just to get us kicked off though, Scott, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Scott, we at Mission Matters amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Scott, what mission matters to you?
Well, the mission that matters to me is that we reinvent or we change the narrative of what it means to grow old.
Yeah.
To not grow old, to not decline in isolation and fear, but to grow up and to make the fourth quarter, which we'll talk about later, our greatest quarter of life.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great mission and one that I'm happy to promote and talk about. I love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line to share like what gets them fired up, how they're making a difference in the marketplace and really adding value. So we'll do a deep dive into Serving Strong Enterprises, of course. But you know, before this business, I mean, tell us a little bit more about your background. How'd you get started on this entrepreneurial path?
Well, it started when I joined my dad's company when I was 24 years old. And for the next 24 years, I was the COO in charge of legal, license, insurance, bonding, safety, all that sort of thing. We were a multi-million dollar national church building company. Hmm. And I was in the midst of building my family, building my career. I loved what I was doing, or at least I thought I did at the time. In fact, I'm the youngest of four brothers, and we had a younger sister, and someone said, we ought to look into coaching for our employees. So being the youngest brother, I was charged with that responsibility. You take it, Scott. And so I investigated coaching and fell in love with the whole dynamic. This was back in the early 2000s. And in 2007, I actually started coaching people on the side, as well as being a COO. Now, and 2007 is when I started all that, but then 2008 occurred. And I know that your listeners don't have to think long and hard about what I'm about to say, but the downturn in the economy really affected us. It was third of three major downturns financially that we had experienced. We survived the first two back in the past, but this one's a little bit different. We were noticing that it was difficult to rebound. So fast forward to 2013, the board of directors elected me as CEO to reinvent our company because we had to do something different. So I engaged in a lot of whiteboards. I would fill a whiteboard, then I would take a picture of it and I'd wipe it off and fill another one. And over time, we began to develop a new way of doing things. And we had early success. However, cash flow caught up with us. And in June of 2015, we had to close the doors. Even though we had $20 million of backlog under contract, we had to close the doors. And I was a 50-year-old without a career. So that's significant. That threw me into what I call a cave. You know, in the hero's journey, you get into the cave and that's where transformation takes place. Yeah. I wrestled with self-doubt and identity crisis. I threw myself into coaching. And it wasn't long before a new friend came along and had more belief in me than I did. He hired me and I became his coach. I became his consultant. And we've been doing that ever since. 2016 is when we started that. So I owe a lot of gratitude to that individual.
What a story. And when as I think about like what you went through and, you know, the ups and downs all the way from, you know, your early 20s to really cutting your teeth in business just in general, right? And then being put, you know, at the forefront of really running the company and thinking about how you could turn it around, how you could, you know, change the narrative, right? And then ultimately when, you know, age catches up with you, or we'll talk about what that even means, because in the past, maybe being 50 at that exact point may have meant something different than maybe it means now in terms of opportunity and what individuals can do. But now you're faced with this task of like, what's next? And you're kind of in the cave, you're in the cavern, or however we want to say it. And I want to stay there just a little bit longer. And the reason why I want to stay there a little longer is because, you know, over the last couple of years, so for everybody watching this into the future, we're recording this in 2022. So we're, you know, last couple of years, there's a lot of businesses that maybe haven't fared quite as well, or maybe they had to shut their doors, or maybe they had to reinvent themselves or pivot or find different ways of adding value to the marketplace to stay afloat. So some people that are maybe in that cave right now, what kind of things would you tell them? Like having experienced it yourselves, what kind of things would you tell them?
Well, I first of all would say, get out of your own head. That's the single greatest thing. I pulled from the whiteboarding that I had done and began to just really, I needed somebody to pull the stuff out of my head. I didn't do it. In fact, for 4 years, I really, really struggled. And I believe that that could have been shortened had I had someone to help me download everything that was going on in my head, because I was too close to everything. And I was going through my own sense of isolation. And I just, you know, you can't be strategic. The locus of control is outside of you. You're being controlled by all the circumstances. I wrestled with a lot of anxiety and fear. And I would say if I had had someone who I could confide in and process everything, I think I would have been able to distance myself from my circumstances and reflect on what's happening and become strategic about it and start moving forward. And that's my number one, first thing that comes to my mind is you've got to reflect.
Yeah. And I, for those that have been listening to this show for a long time, they know that what I'm about to say, you can't see, you can't read the label when you're sitting in the jar. Like you need somebody else. And that's not my words. That's, you know, another coach or individual that was in that business years ago, or at some point came on and told me that. And I always remember it, cause I'm like, I picture myself in this big pickle jar or whatever kind of jar it is. And I'm trying to read the label, but I can't, cause I'm in the jar. Like, you need a coach. So for anybody that's still fighting that concept, whether you're doing great, whether you're doing, you know, not so well, whether you're in between, like, you still can't read the label if you're in the jar, period, physically impossible. You can try to get a mirror, get your buddy to put a mirror out there. You can do some things every once in a while, but you need somebody that's on that journey for you. And that's not, you know, Scott is a coach, that's his business, but that's my own bias. Like, I've benefited from coaching through the years. I've, and I can't think about what I wouldn't have done had I not been able to do that and to go down that path and have the individuals in my life that kind of could help me along that way. And I like to usually make this distinction pretty early on. Coach versus mentor. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about the distinction between the two? Because I don't like the concepts to be confused in the conversation.
Well, sure. A mentor, the predisposition of a mentor is they have been there. Yeah. They have done that. And so they have the answers, but they're guiding the mentee along so that the mentee can bring it into their own reality. Coaching, on the other hand, is they're not an expert in the answers. They're an expert in the questions. So, and they're an expert in the creation of the space, the non-judgmental, confidential space. And it's, they bring the questions and pull that, the answers out of the client. Mentors kind of, you might see more leading questions. You know, they're operating. Now, I'm not saying mentors are not needed. There is,
of course, mentors. They're just different. It's just two different things. And I'd like people to have that clarification. That's all.
Right, right. And mentors would lean more toward the role of consultant, who listens to everything that the client has to say and then says, here's what I think you should do. Yeah. Based on all of my experience and all my knowledge and schooling and all, coaching is distinctly different in that regard.
Yeah.
They stay distanced enough that they can be the external set of eyes and ask questions that no one else would think to ask because they're not in the jar.
And what I like about coaching too is that it's a more formal relationship. So mentors are many times doing this because, you know, obviously they have some value, they have some things that they want to share. But a coach, they're bought in with you. Like there's a commitment from both on that journey for some type of result. You're not, it's like you're going to, you know, playing basketball and you're in high school, right? The coach is there, of course, to groom the, you know, the athletes and hopefully to mentor them on their way, on their path. But the coach is there to win. Like the coach is there in a bought in relationship for, in that case, with my example there of a basketball game, they're there to win. They have a job to do and the kids are there to win too. Like that's the goal. So you're aligned on a common goal versus just giving some advice because maybe you've played basketball in the past, right?
Right. There are two things that I do when I coach people. There, we forward the action and we deepen the learning at the very same time. So you're going further, faster, deeper. And so just like the basketball coach, the scoreboard is the scoreboard, right? But there's also character, building character along the way as well.
So you have a pretty specific niche, and I'm kind of curious about how you came about this and for the individuals that you work with. So helping individuals, you know, in their 40s and 50s, really prepare for their 60s and 70s and beyond. Like, how did you kind of settle on this niche and this particular population that you wanted to help?
Well, I can sum it up in a word, awakening. We all have an awakening at some point in our life. And by that, what I mean is the meaning of life really begins to come front and center. It happens different ages. Typically, it's in our 40s and our 50s. You've probably heard of the midlife crisis, which has been documented to be around in the 40s and 50s, give or take a decade. Awakenings can happen as a result of something that happens outside of you.
Yeah.
Like in my case, being a 50-year-old, and that I was smack in the middle of the 40s and 50s. And it was imposed upon me. I didn't come up with that. There wasn't some middle of the night, you know, nightmare that I said, oh man, I'm not going to live forever. My situation was, my awakening was a result of a life disruption. And I've discovered over the several years since that I'm not alone. There are a lot of people my age, and I'm 57 now. There are a lot of people my age who are having their own awakening.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but what do you do with it? And so I mix all the coaching that I've done, the experiences I've been through, and I said, there needs to be a process so that you can take this awakening and you can make it work for you rather than against you. And that's what's been my commitment ever since. It kind of goes back to that, if I had had someone that I could confide in when I was going through that awakening, I've committed to be that person for another.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. The baby boomers, and I love them. There's a lot of baby boomers that are part of my life, and I've learned a lot from them. But by and large, their narrative of aging is not a very pretty picture. I mean, it's decline, it's isolation, loneliness, irrelevance, all these sorts of things. You know, the whole concept of retirement, you know, and retiring into the garden and just oblivion, riding into the sunset. All of these images come from, and I'm probably going to make a lot of baby boomers mad, But generally, that is the narrative. And I've got that burns me up. There's so much more available now than there ever was before. And we have all the ingredients that we need to grow up, not grow old.
Yeah. And like just sticking on that topic a little bit longer. So thinking about what the old narrative was, right? So you work for a company, maybe X amount of years, you retire with the gold watch. Maybe the life expectancy wasn't quite as long for some previous generations, right? So the idea was you get a solid, 10, 15 years of retirement, maybe have some supplemental social security, maybe have a pension. Then the whole world changes. We no longer have pensions for the most part. We have 401ks. That baby boomer generation being really the first generation to feel the brunt of not necessarily planning for retirement because they were going off a model that their parents were working on, which was the pension model that was switched kind of under their feet. So then you look at it now and you say, okay, maybe you were a business owner, maybe you didn't, but you're getting towards that quote unquote retirement age, whatever that means, right?
Right.
And you're counting the pennies or counting the dollars to figure out what your retirement and the rest of your life is going to look like. Like that is a depressing narrative. And you're kind of told that you're pretty much doing the, and I was a financial advisor in finance for almost 14 years. So let's just say I've created hundreds of financial plans for baby boomers through the years. So that concept of what's next always was in my planning process of like, okay, but you're going to be very young. Like, what are you going to do next? Like that was a part of it because you can only play golf or do certain things for so long before you just feel like, what's next? Like that drags on, when you're doing it for 20, 30 years. So it's like, what's next? So this whole idea and concept with your model that you've brought to the table, just being pretty specific, saying, hey, there's a whole nother life, regardless of what you've done in the past. It might be a second career. There could be other things you're doing. Even if you did do financially well, it still becomes a question of like, what's next?
Right. Absolutely. What's next? Let's pivot. Let's reinvent. The word retirement really isn't a part of the vernacular that I work with my clients on. Yeah. Retirement means giving up. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not the case for the baby boomers. It wasn't an intention. They didn't wake up and say, okay, my first day of retirement, I'm going to start dying now.
Yeah.
But it's just a different concept. It's pivot. What can I do now? How can I leverage all of my experiences and do something? A lot of people going into their fourth quarter are volunteering and finding their purpose.
Yeah. All right, Scott. So you mentioned fourth quarter more than once. I want to break down that narrative. So tell us a little bit more about what that fourth quarter concept means.
Sure. So take a look at the average lifespan of an American male. And take into account all the different gender and the location and all that. But if you were to say it's 78 to 80 years, break that 80-year lifespan into 20-year segments. The first quarter is our first 20 years. I call that our learning quarter. We're growing. We're being nurtured. We're going to school. The second quarter are your 20s and your 30s, and that's the building phase. That's where we're building a marriage, a family, a home, a career, a business. And then we reach that third quarter, and that's our 40s and our 50s, when we've essentially matured everything that we have built. And it's in that phase that we begin to really start to question, is this all there is? And it's brought on by a number of different variables, one of which is we're just not as young as we used to be. And so the drive to hustle and grind is not as strong as it was before. And I know as a male, that is something alone that we have to wrestle with is what's going on here? I don't have the interest that I used to have. What's wrong with me? But I think it's a function of the stage of life. Think of a curve. Think of the bell curve. You've built and now it's built. Your family's built. Your kids are growing and moving out of the house. Your business is running and succeeding, but there's something missing. And that to me is the third quarter awakening, somewhere in that lifespan. The fourth quarter is your 60s and your 70s, leading up to that year 80. And if you're fortunate and healthy and lucid, You'll have more years than that. But let's take a look at that fourth quarter just a minute. Most of our narrative that we have, the script that we've been given is we grow, we build, and then we decline. You know, the old phrase, Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40.
Yeah.
Or over the hill. All these things indicate that black balloons were dying now. That's what I want to change. The narrative that there's another curve that we are all leaving on the table if we're not careful. And the fourth quarter, in my opinion, is the best quarter that we could ever experience.
Yeah. It's great. And I want to go further into actually serving strong enterprises and really into your model overall. So first off, maybe just tell us a little bit more about the company.
Sure. Ohio based. You're looking at the crew. It's a coaching and on occasion consulting business for small business and nonprofit executives and owners. The whole idea is to coach people to do what they can do. This built-in mechanism. And my overarching theme is serve strong and finish strong. And I know we've heard that phrase before, but that's significant because of the fourth quarter and how much we have going for us. So that's what I'm doing.
And so you have a very specific model you use called the 5D model. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's a cycle. They all start with D. There are five steps. And I largely drew this from the reinvention of the family business that I had in that crucible that I was in. Yeah. And then discovered, hey, wait a minute. I did that. That began to succeed. Clients are going through certain things. There's something going on here. So I stepped back and reflected and identified five steps. The first one is download, which is get everything out of your head.
Yeah.
Distance yourself from your circumstances. And my clients will know what I'm talking about here. There's a difference between being on a complex dance floor and being on the balcony. Because on a complex dance floor, you can't really pick out all the dancers and the dances that they are dancing. But if you're on the balcony, there's greater control and there you can be much more strategic on the balcony. So downloading is the staircase. That's the process of getting to the balcony. And it's crazy. The locus of control that's external, like you're feeling controlled, as you download, you begin to feel more of a sense of control. You don't have all the answers, but you see the big picture. That leads to the second step, which is discern. Discerning is just basically making sense of what you just downloaded. Think of an archaeologist who has found a bone in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
They will then set a grid down so that they can make sense of what they uncover. That's what discernment is. And I use six buckets in order to identify all of the stuff that you download randomly. And that's spiritual, physical, relational, emotional, vocational, and financial. So we look for trends, patterns, reoccurring themes during discernment. That invariably leads to the third step, which is design. Because once we see what's going on, we say, okay, now I know what to do. So designing is the identification of an objective and a couple of actions and a commitment. You commit to taking a couple of actions for a period of time to achieve an objective, which leads to the fourth step, which is do. So you actually take the action, you check in weekly with someone, and you reflect along the way. So my clients work through a tracker. Many of them use a tracker, and we get together briefly. They share their numbers. They share a gut feel for how the week went. And then after 12 weeks, on the 13th week, we do what is the fifth step, and that is dig. And this is the most significant step. Otherwise, it's just a reoccurring hamster wheel. You know, you just go through life and process it and process. You go through the same problems. But the dig phase prevents that from happening because it's an intentionally stepping back, asking yourself, what have I learned about that period of doing? And how can I leverage that learning for the next round of activity?
Yeah.
And so it's iterative, highly iterative. there is built-in margin for flexibility. And it's just like whiteboarding a business reinvention. You are constantly whiteboarding and reinventing mm-hmm. and pivoting along the way based on what you know. It's not a helter-skelter, go all over the place. You are literally grounded by the previous 5D cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that and you take another. And it's not a very smooth ride up. The best way to describe it is take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial since 1900 through today. If you were to zoom into any one day, especially in these last few days, you would mm-hmm. be wildly depressed.
Yeah.
But if you step back, again, the balcony, the creating distance, you step back, the trend is upward. Mm-hmm. There will be 5D cycles that result in great learning. And maybe even stepping back because you may have thought what was important wasn't really as important as you thought, but that process of doing revealed that.
And what I like about this model in general is that it's a cycle. So once you're done with one part of it, and it sounds to me like every single cycle, even though maybe some of the processes may be the same, because it's highly iterative, like every cycle is going to be pretty much different. Am I off on that? Am I understanding?
You are absolutely right. The steps remain the same because so that grounds you in that process.
Yeah.
But the details, my word, they're different for every client and they're different for every cycle.
And it's in my opinion, it's also probably different for like different stages in life where somebody's at, like everything, the external factors, the family, personal, like business, like all of this is going to affect some of the outcomes, but it gives you a unique vantage point that allows you to plan, reiterate, and allows you to pivot, allows you to make adjustments along the way, it sounds like. Am I off?
That is exactly right. There's something going on while you're doing this. And Franklin Covey, they wrote a book called The Four Disciplines of Execution. Mm-hmm. And what they talk about is making progress in the midst of the whirlwind.
Yeah.
And the 4DX process is one of the foundational works among three other basic works of material. And you never know what's going to happen in the midst of doing. So a lot of, there are some clients mm-hmm. who will reflect on the do phase, and in their digging, they'll realize that they were sideswiped by an event and they had to deal with that. So we do a lot of life rhythm. I don't like the concept of life balance because that does more harm than good because it assumes you have to be the same energy in all areas all the time. It just doesn't work.
It's not realistic.
No, yeah. No.
So looking at this, I know obviously you're working with a lot of clients. I think you've also decided to take this maybe a step further and build a community around it. Tell me a little bit more about that as well.
Sure. So one-on-one coaching is my primary methodology and I'm still doing this. However, I have noticed recently an unmet need among my clients and the people that are wrestling with this third quarter awakening. And that is a peer-to-peer network that is both affordable and is effective for the 40 and 50 age specific issues. Now, there are a lot of good peer-to-peer networks out there, and I don't want to knock any of them. They're great. Mm-hmm. It's just for my client market, they're cost prohibitive, and they don't really consistently address the awakening. So I've created a community, which is a collaborative community of seasoned executives. And I am seeking a community that is smart, that is fun, that is adventurous. Mm-hmm. It's simple and powerful and results oriented. And it's all designed to create a fantastic fourth quarter.
And one of the cool things I would imagine about your particular community and the way that you're building it is because so many of the community members or participants are already indoctrinated in that whole 5D model and process. Like you're speaking the same language, like just communication and connection as humans in general, like language can be a big barrier. So if you're already kind of indoctrinated and you understand the process and you have stories to share, that commonality, you're speaking the same language. I mean, I think it allows the opportunity for even further growth and just other connections and things that maybe somebody may not have thought was possible and now becomes possible.
Exactly. You might be in stage two of your certain one and someone is in stage four of theirs, and they will be able to be the set of eyes that you needed to hear at that time. I believe that the members in the community are all geniuses at something. Mm-hmm. We're all geniuses at something. Mm-hmm. And we can give that genius and we can receive that genius. The highest core value of the community mm-hmm. is community. It's that belonging to a group. And yeah. that's the curriculum that works too. Mm-hmm. But man, if you can call a place like this is like family to me, yeah. especially in the fourth quarter, when you are death, you know, we can't escape it. We are all mm-hmm. subject to the same fate. And mm-hmm. that is, we're going to start seeing deaths. And so this is kind of preemptive. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of belonging, because mm-hmm. I know we are all going to get older. And yeah. I would love for the millennials and Gen Y and Gen Z to be able to have a platform that they can plug into as they become awakened to their own situation and have a place where they can call home.
It's great. It's a great concept. It's a great work and it's needed. So a big, big fan of the mission. And I can think about myself as I progress in life. Like I want that kind of community. I want it to be right. available. I want to be able to connect with people that are in the fourth quarter and, third quarter, and just think about what that looks like, to learn from others as well. So, I think that's how we all progress. So Scott, first I'd have to say, like, this has been great having you on the show, learning more about your business, of course, your coaching and how you're making a difference. I just have to ask, what's next? You got a lot on your plate, building the community. I think you got a podcast coming up too. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. I plan on starting a podcast probably in the fourth quarter of this year, and it's going to
hold on, fourth quarter. Everything's fourth quarter with you. What's going on? No, I'm just playing. I had to.
Well, I didn't even notice it. See, podcast is going to be stories of fantastic fourth quarter experiences. We're going to talk to people who have pivoted and loving life. We're going to talk about how they transformed, what they've learned, what advice they would give to someone who hasn't transformed yet. It's going to be an exciting series of interviews. I'm looking forward to it.
And then a book is on the horizon as well.
Yeah.
You're not busy enough. That's what it is, Scott. You got a lot of things going.
That's right. I feel like I'm chasing something. Yeah. The book is going to be centered around my story mm-hmm. about my awakening, the 5D transformational process. Yeah. And it's just all about what we talked about today, mm-hmm. but you can have it in that form.
Hmm. It's great. So if somebody's watching this and they want to connect and they want to learn more about, of course, the coaching side of things, but also just follow your journey. The community you're building, the, podcast, the upcoming book. How do people connect and just interact with your brand and your team overall?
Well, I'm all over LinkedIn. So, Google is very good at, if you Google my name, assuming you know how to spell it, it's in the corner there. LinkedIn will be one of the first things. So go there. I would love to connect with you. If you're ready to explore coaching, and I don't mean, a hard sell. I'm not about that. Yeah. But if you're ready to explore coaching, I would love to have a conversation with you. Just email coach@servingstrong.com. Yeah. Knowing this was coming up, Adam, I put together a resource download for mm-hmm. those of you who are listening. So if you went to servingstrong.com/MM for yeah. Mission Matters. There's a special landing page there. You can register. You can get this download, and it's a very short 5-page ebook, and then a downloadable spreadsheet so that you can identify where you are mm-hmm. on this legacy grid, I call it.
Mm. It's great. And we will put all that information in the show notes so that my audience can just click on the show notes, head right on over, get that download, of course, and connect with Scott and follow him on LinkedIn. I follow his content and it's great. So I definitely highly recommend taking a visit to Scott on LinkedIn. And speaking to the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with our platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and sharing and having them share, you know, what they do and how they do it. Like what gets them fired up to go into the marketplace and to really just make a difference in the world. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting, fun, or inspiring to you, then we definitely welcome you to hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based entrepreneurs coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Scott, really, it has been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to listening to the upcoming podcast, reading the book, and just staying connected as part of our Mission Matters community. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Adam, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.